This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A new chapter in the long history of Detroit's Belle Isle began today as it became Michigan's 102nd state park. It's been transitioning for a while, but the full change kicked in today as state parks officials assume control of the island. It all happens under the lease imposed by Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr. It's figured this move will save the city between $4 and $6 million a year. And beginning today, motorists will need the $11 state recreation passport to enter the park. So what does this mean for Belle Isle and for the city of Detroit? We turn to Detroit Free Press editorial page editor Stephen Henderson. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we welcome Michelle Hodges. She's president of the Belle Isle Conservancy, and she chairs the newly formed Belle Isle Advisory Committee. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Cynthia. It's great to be here on this milestone day.
It is. There was such a long journey, Michelle, before we could actually say those words. The state DNR officially takes over management of Belle Isle today. What are your thoughts and feelings as this moment is finally here?
Well, you were right when you referred to it as a new chapter. And the good news is that we're empowered as the Belle Isle Conservancy and as the Belle Isle State Park Advisory Committee to ensure that it is exactly that, that we are able to take advantage of the buoyancy that I think we're all feeling in Detroit and ensure that Belle Isle be an essential part of that. We will be ardent advocates for the park, and I can tell you my experience with this transition period has been exceptional. They're in this for the right reasons. Their intentions are good. And by working together and having the check and balance of this advisory committee, we can ensure that we can continue on that trajectory forward.
You know, Stephen, when this idea of turning Belle Isle into a state park first surfaced, there were so many in city and community leadership roles who voiced such strong opposition to, the quote we often heard was handing over one of Detroit's jewels to the state. Now, recognizing that this arrangement has the state holding this long-term lease to run the park and Belle Isle is still owned by the city, Stephen, what do you think most Detroiters feel about this arrangement now that it's reality?
Well, I mean, I think the poll that was done last year gave us a really clear picture of what actual Detroiters, you know, people who live here, think about it. And it was, you know, it wasn't close. It was something like 60-65% of them said, look, go ahead and let the state run it. What they really care about is the island and the condition of the island and their enjoyment of the island. I mean, anybody who's been here for any number of decades, you know, as I have, I mean, having grown up here in the 70s and 80s, can remember when it was a much better place and in much better shape. There was more programming. The grass was cut more frequently. You know, it's really fallen into pretty bad disrepair because the city can't afford to maintain it. And so the idea of ownership, I think it takes a back seat in most people's minds to the utility. You know, what does Belle Isle give us? What does it offer us? And I think it's going to be more with the state handling it.
What have we seen, Michelle, so far since the transition began? What physically has been happening on the island?
There are measured results already. Restrooms are being reopened, picnic tables being repaired, roofs being repaired, trash receptacles anchored, signage will be improved and enhanced, trails are being cleared. So the overall visitor experience is already on a pathway towards considerable and noticeable enhancement. Today marks the first official day. So I think that's a testimony to what we can expect going forward. And I certainly know I give my personal pledge to this community to be the insurance that it needs to know that this is going to be a very robust, equitable partnership, and that if need be, will be that elegant pit bull that, you know, needs to take measures to ensure that that happens. But again, given the results we've already seen, I think the potential for that is extremely limited.
So you don't expect to have to be the elegant pit bull?
No, I don't at all.
Now, the Free Press recently reported there was the first meeting of the Citizens Advisory Committee, and Stephen, there was a report on some concerns by members that the state police and the state park rangers who will be patrolling Belle Isle, replacing the Detroit Police Department, might not understand the culture of Detroiters. What specifically were their concerns?
Well, I think there's always a concern when you have, you know, folks from outside Detroit policing Detroiters. There's some cultural barriers there and historical issues that I think pop into people's minds. I'd make a couple points. Number one, state police patrol every a state park in Michigan. And, you know, Detroiters go to state parks all the time. I mean, this is not creating something measurably different than what we already have in other places. So, I mean, I think the fear of you know, this being some sort of anomaly may be somewhat overblown. You know, at the same time, Belle Isle has its own sort of tempo and pace. I mean, Michelle can attest to this too. You know, we both spend a lot of time out on that island, and it is different because it's in the city, and you've got to be sensitive to that. I mean, the people have got to be able to enjoy themselves there without fear that the police will crack down on behavior that's not illegal. I really don't have a lot of concern about that, like I said.
We hear those concerns as a committee as well, and we have a duty to take those seriously. And I think that the committee, even at its first meeting, was already beginning to effectively fulfill its role. You know, Reverend Peake addressed that matter and, you know, very eloquently noted that what we or some of the law enforcement personnel may see as rowdy or troublemaking is actually defined as fun and really has no threat tied to it. So I think that those are the issues. If we can use those as opportunities to constructively dialogue about them and constructively identify solutions, we're going to avoid those pitfalls that we hit so frequently as a community and get to a higher degree of function if we're very capable and astute in how we manage that process and get a decision-making framework incorporated into it so that residents feel engaged, they feel touched, they feel included, they feel part of it. And then we're going to avoid that. Are we going to have a bump in the road? Probably. But I can assure you we're going to do everything we can to handle it in a way that moves us forward rather than backward.
Hey, Stephen, what can you tell us about this story emerging about Hong Kong investor Jimmy Lai being interested in rescuing the Detroit Boat Club?
You know, I've heard a little about that here and there. I think what that reflects is this new international interest in property in Detroit. We're seeing some of that downtown right now with Chinese investors buying up some buildings. You know, that's a good thing, right? The boat club has sat there neglected for I think 15 or 20 years now.
Easily.
And it's used by a rowing club that operates on the river. But, you know, they're not able to keep that building up the way that it should. And, you know, it needs to be fixed.
And it says Belle Isle may be a state park, but it's still open for investment.
Well, I think places like the boat club clearly are.
Yes.
And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not sure you want to privatize in the other parts of it. I mean, that's a pretty sensitive issue. It's a public park. I mean, the idea of Belle Isle always was to give access to recreation to Detroiters. It ought to stay that way.
But it is interesting to realize that a major investor is looking at really what is a very badly decaying building and seeing great possibility, which I guess to all of those folks who care about our cities, it tells us something about the blighted buildings, not only in Detroit, but throughout Michigan cities. Yes, there is possibility.
There is a master plan that's been created, and, you know, that gives us a decision-making framework at this early stage that we need to mature as we go forward. And there are guiding principles in there, and the boat club boathouse in and of itself is identified as an opportunity for marine amenities, as a conference space, as, you know, potentially housing a restaurant and the like. So, you know, we have to go through the intellectual process of vetting these projects. I, you know, one concern the Conservancy has, and concern probably isn't the right word, we just know it's something that needs to be vetted further in light of needing to find the balance with smart economic development, because we do need private sector investment. You know, we need to look at the fact that this developer is proposing to tear the building down. So that is something that I think the communities is going to want to have a say in. So we're going to have to manage that dialogue.
How about the aquarium? What are you hearing, and what changes might we expect to see in the aquarium?
Well, the aquarium is one of the crown jewels of the Belle Isle Conservancy's resume. We have this amazing legion of volunteers that manage and operate that aquarium. They've reopened it one day a week. We're looking at expanding those hours. We've signed agreements with Wayne State University to operate a field office there and to install a research lab, which we think is really the essence of the future of that aquarium. It's a pathway to national sources of funding. It's a very important cultural asset on the island. That same legion of volunteers just did a mission to the National Aquarium in Washington, D.C. to bring back a lot of the equipment and products and materials from there that unfortunately is closing. So Detroiters are going to benefit from that. So we see the aquarium as a very important opportunity going forward. And Pure Detroit has joined that team. Just this past weekend, we launched the opening of a Pure Detroit gift shop, the Island Outpost, as we're referring to it. So that's a great way to earn a revenue stream and also engage our supporters by giving them opportunities to purchase Belle Isle-related materials. So it's really a win-win opportunity.
Yeah, sitting here listening to Michelle, I mean, I'm sort of reminded of the context in which this all happens. I mean, the Conservancy is really pushing forward with some important initiatives on that island already, right? And so now you have the state adding its shoulder to that weight forward, but this all dovetails pretty importantly, I think, with the work that the Riverfront Conservancy has been doing for the last 10 years, all the way, you know, as they say, from bridge to bridge, mm-hmm. From the Ambassador up to the Belle Isle Bridge, creating more of a public park space along our waterfront. And so this comes along at a time when we're really ready to connect all those pieces of, together, so that we do have the kind of waterfront community that we should, given the water frontage that we have. I mean, this was all industrial when I was a kid, and Belle Isle was the only place for that kind of recreation. Now Belle Isle will be part of this magnificent stretch of waterfront amenities, including Milliken State Park, which is just down the river from them. So, I mean, this is really taking a step, big step forward, in the way that we think of recreation and think of waterfront access in Detroit.
Michelle Hodges, president of the Belle Isle Conservancy and also chair of the newly formed Belle Isle Advisory Committee and Detroit Free Press editorial page editor and lifelong Detroiter Stephen Henderson. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So Belle Isle is now Michigan's 102nd state park. But what about our first state park? Any guesses? Well, those of you up north may know the answer. Michigan's very first state park was Interlochen State Park, about 15 miles outside Traverse City. The park was established by the Michigan legislature in 1917, and the state paid $60,000 for the land.